and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
him in my show. Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got JC, we got you here until 10 o'clock. We'll hear from Albert Breer coming up at 8:35. But as always, we give you shot or no shot every day at 8 o'clock, and it's brought to you by...
Here's Snorling.
That morning, one's, fellas. That one's open for 23.
First shot or no shot of the year. Newly opened.
Not a lot open on the show. That's now open.
Well, newly opened real estate.
That's exactly right.
Attention, Mindy.
I threw it out to you, Cap, because we want everyone to know that we have a we put a stick in the grass here, stick in the lawn.
Correct.
Would you like to take care of shot or no shot? We're right here for you.
Yep.
Valuable real estate here on Cap and Jay Hood.
Not a lot. There you go, Secretariat. Good morning.
Get your ass back in there. Not yet.
Get your beak out of shot or no shot, Secretariat.
Cap, would you tell him? We got a couple of emails. Tell Secretariat, not yet.
Yeah, not yet, buddy.
He's still around.
Yeah.
Not just a second. No one gave him an email, apparently.
Ran back into the barn.
Yeah, he's like, not
all
yet.
Right, I'll
New
go back
Year,
in the barn.
Same Secretariat.
Okay.
Laminitis is still an issue.
What is he coming out there for, Cap? Did you tell him?
I forgot.
All right.
I didn't send him a memo.
Here's Snorling.
All right, let's start the new year with a Bears-heavy shot or no shot. Matt Eberflus was asked about the status of Justin Fields this week against Minnesota. He let slip that Ryan Poles will be involved in the decision. Take a listen to this.
Like I said, we're working on that, on everybody, you know, including Justin, and we're going to visit with Ryan, the rest of the coaching staff, and the health of the football team, the entire health of the team, to me is you know, where we were 2 weeks ago is different than where we are now. You know, so I think it's important that we evaluate that.
Shot or no shot, if Poles is involved, Fields will not play on Sunday.
That's a shot.
Shot, yeah. Yep.
As I said earlier, if they let that kid go out there and play behind this lousy-ass offensive line with no receivers, and you actually now are within one game of picking in the top two that could determine the future of your franchise if you use the pick wisely, whether that's a trade or a selection, and you put him out there, and he gets hurt, if I'm the owner, I would tell them, I hired you to run the football team. If that kid gets seriously injured, you're fired.
Well,
is it worth it to you?
If I'm Ryan Poles, and I got to tell you that in week 17, then there's an issue.
You mean if you're George McCaskey?
No, if I'm, he said the general manager.
Oh, okay.
Poles. If I got to tell Eberflus, hey, man, maybe you shouldn't play. If you don't know that, if you don't think that's, if that's not common sense to you, and I got to tell you and convince you you probably shouldn't play him, that's a major red flag for me.
And whether the game ends on Sunday and the Bears have lost, Justin's played amazing, he's played lousy, and he doesn't get hurt, is irrelevant. The fact that you would risk that kid's health shows me absolute idiocy if you do it.
All right. You're Eberflus on Poles.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Matt, so what do you think of for week 17 for Justin?
He's a football player, and I think he can learn from all the situations. We're going to play him.
Okay. He's not really 100%. You sure that's wise?
Justin tells me he feels good enough to go, and I feel like every situation is a learning experience for him.
Okay. I think we've seen a lot from Justin. Is there anything that you don't know about Justin so far through 16 and through training camp and practice?
No, I'm sold. He's our guy going forward.
I think probably shouldn't play him. I think we probably shouldn't play him. We're pretty close to the number two pick, maybe number one. And maybe we could see what we get in Peterman for a backup next year.
Peterman's got no chance.
Okay.
We will not win if Peterman's playing.
Okay. Think probably... you should go in a different direction. I think since you know everything we know about Justin, we can't learn anything in the Minnesota game.
Are you telling me how to coach the team? Because you're my boss.
Yeah.
If you're telling me not to play him, I won't violate what my boss tells me, but is it my decision or yours?
I think it's collaborative in this situation since our biggest asset is Justin Fields. So I'm lightly suggesting my vote would be probably not to play him. So it's your decision, but I would suggest to do what's best for the young man.
Okay, now can we reverse the roles and I'll be Poles and you be Eberflus?
Sure.
Tell me your thoughts, what you want to do with Justin this week for the final game.
Young man says that he wants to play. He wants to lead this football team, and I'm going to allow him to do that.
So you're planning on starting him?
Yes.
Matt, if you're that stupid that you're going to put him out there to risk his future and to risk us picking number two, you're dumber than I thought you were.
Are you calling me stupid and dumb?
I am.
Oh.
If you put him out there and he gets hurt, I will fire your ass.
Hmm.
Because that's one of the dumbest things you've ever said.
You know what? You could take the whistle then.
Great.
I'll walk out.
Can we please get a check? Hey, bookkeeping. I need a check. How much is Eberflus owed? Give him that, put it in a cardboard box, and get his ass out of here. If he's this stupid.
Okay.
He's not. He cannot be that dumb. He cannot.
How about that? Shay, he called me stupid and dumb. You hear that?
Yeah, I think he called Eberflus stupid and dumb. He'd never call you stupid and dumb.
Well, not.
He's the sportscaster of the year.
Well, not with the door closed. Go ahead.
Only to me in the morning before you get here would he say that.
Now with the door closed and me this close to him, he wouldn't say that now. Maybe in an open field.
Correct.
Go
a little quicker.
Go ahead.
All right. The Bears have a realistic shot at securing the number one pick in the draft, with the Texans playing the corpse of the Indianapolis Colts in the finale and the Vikings needing a win over the Bears to guarantee two home playoff games. So my question's simple. Shot or no shot, the Bears will get the number one pick.
That's a no shot. Like, the Texans will lay down. They'll lay down.
I don't know about that.
They'll lay down.
I think it's a shot. I absolutely think it's a shot. Doesn't mean they're going to, but the Colts are horrifically bad. I keep hearing Lovey's not going anywhere, that they like him down there and that they play hard for him. We'll find out, because David, they said the same about David Culley, and they gave him a check and kicked him out after 1 year.
Well, that's, you know what? He deserved that. 65 years of age, he was able to cash in. That was his lottery ticket.
Honey, I secured the bag. That's
exactly right. Brother Culley, after all those years.
Where do you want to go?
Years of service.
Right.
There you go, Brother
Culley. He's got all the money. He doesn't need it.
The Texans will find a way to lose that football game. They will punt it on second down, Cap. It'll be 6-3 Colts with a victory. They'll do whatever it takes. Lay down.
If they win and the Bears screw it up and win?
Well, here's the guarantee. Bears will not win Sunday. They were not going to beat the Vikings.
I don't believe they will.
Not even with the Vikings backups. They're not going.
Especially with the Vikings coming off the pounding that they took.
Yeah. So let's just cross that out. The Bears were not going to win on Sunday. I don't care. The Bears can have all their starters. It's still not good enough. Even against the backups of the Vikings. I don't care. This is the game we focus on. Texans-Colts, what happens there? I think the Texans will do all they can to lay down for that number one pick. Lay down.
I don't think so. I do not.
So what's the question?
Shot or no shot, the Bears will get the number one pick.
That's a no shot.
That's a shot. I absolutely think it is a shot.
And Shay, I'll say what I've been maintaining for months now here on the show. One, two... It's just about status, because if the number one doesn't work out, Cap's the first one to say, we got the number one pick, and that guy sucked. And so it's just what you say, right? One, two, it doesn't matter. You can be able to fill a bucket with somebody of a great consequence, number one or number two in this draft. Somebody. Shay.
All right. Two more questions, boys. I want to ask about something that went crazy last week in terms of the Bears potentially trading out of their pick to get a wide receiver. The Raiders have announced that they are open for business. They sat Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. They didn't just sit him. They exiled him from the team, and they told him they're going to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
Devontae Adams is being put in trade rumors now. The Raiders will possess the number 9 pick most likely in the NFL draft. So my question, shot or no shot, the Bears should trade out of their top pick for Devontae Adams and number 9.
That's a no shot. Devontae Adams on this football team, so that's one weapon. And then what?
Correct. That's A. I think I can get a lot more than one first-round pick at number 9 and a 30-year-old wide receiver. Good football player.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we're halfway decent, he's going to be 33 turning 34. No shot. Which am
is,
I doing?
Which
that?
Is the equivalent of picking up T.O. at this point.
And
33 and 34.
Davante Adams yeah. might say, "I'm not going to Chicago. Not interested."
Yeah, yes, he should be traded, just not Chicago, not to the worst franchise.
Well, the rumor is that Brady may be going there, and if that's the case, Davante Adams is going nowhere.
I know this is around the NFL type of topic, Shay, but let me just point this out. Brady shouldn't go to the Raiders either. And the reason why is because whatever you think of Derek Carr, if I said Derek Carr, you'd say what? If I say Derek Carr, you say,
yeah.
Okay. And the reason why that is because the teams that he's been on, the defense that he's been surrounded around has been awful. Their defense year after year has been bad.
Correct.
If you think Derek Carr is just milquetoast or vanilla, that's fine. Milquetoast and vanilla can win games in the National Football League, Cap. Now, he's not in the upper echelon. He's kind of in the middle, I would say, amongst quarterbacks in the NFL. Right? He's in the middle. Okay, so, but ultimately, the reason why the Raiders can't win, undisciplined one, but number two, their defenses year in and year out have been just substandard.
Lousy.
I mean, so we could say that it's Derek Carr's fault because we always focus on offense and the quarterback. Ultimately, if Derek Carr's in the right situation, he can be able to flourish because we have seen him be able to take a team, get down the field, maybe fall short at the end, but he can move the football. He is a good quarterback in this league. Is he upper echelon like these young quarterbacks we talk about all the time with Josh Allen and Burrow? And I wouldn't say that, but I think he's in the middle to be able to help you. He's not Sam Darnold. He's better than that. So I think that's ultimately the reason is because the Raiders' defense has been so bad over the years.
It's just a bad football team.
So if I'm Brady, I don't go there either.
There's no way that I am giving up number one or two for a 30-year-old wide receiver who's a hell of a football player and the ninth pick. No, not doing it.
We got Albert Breer coming up at 8:35, but coming up, we go around the National Football League. Keep it locked on Cap and Jay Hood.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
We go around the National Football League on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget, if you can't check us out live between 7 and 10, it's okay. That's why we've got the ESPN Chicago app. You can listen to our podcast at any time. Just click Cap Jay Hood and boom, you're right in there to our podcast on the Cap and Jay Hood feed. With more around the National Football League, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Well, it's kind of obvious where we start. It's the biggest story of the morning. Damar Hamlin last night for the Buffalo Bills suffered a heart attack after a hit. CPR was administered on the field for several minutes. He's currently, as far as we know, the last update that officially came from the Bills about 4 hours ago, in critical condition in University of Cincinnati Medical Center. So, really sad story that kind of put everything in perspective during Monday Night Football for us last night.
No question about it. Again, cardiac arrest, and the initial thought was, okay, so we saw the hit, and then we saw him collapse, and we didn't know what to make of it, Cap. And then just to see the EMTs cutting his pads just to be able to get to his chest was just unbelievable. The emotion, the crying, the prayers for Bills and Bengals players alike around young Hamlin. Just an unbelievable thing to watch.
It was stunning to watch. I told you earlier, I walked back in the house. What's going on? And when you see the people all around, you assume it was a head injury, that he's down. We saw Tevin Jenkins taken off on a cart a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago. And then when my son told me what it was, and you see him collapse on social media, oh, my God. It takes your breath away. It really, really does. And you realize how trivial the game truly is.
Shay?
Yeah, it was very difficult I think, for everybody that watched it. And obviously, now the least important thing is the football game. But there is still a football game. It was postponed last night. No word on when that will be played. Vic Carucci, Buffalo Bills insider, apparently reported on local Buffalo news this morning that Roger Goodell will make the decision when that game is played and that it must be played in the next 2 days. So I think that would mean either tonight or tomorrow night. Seems really unlikely if we don't know already that it's going to happen tonight. So feels like tomorrow night or nothing. This is like an impossible situation for the NFL, and obviously that is the least important part of this.
My focus is on Hamlin, but I would have known the National Football League trying to get eyeballs on this situation. It wouldn't surprise me if this game is played on a Thursday night on Amazon.
Well, the interesting thing is Troy Vincent, who is the head of the the executive vice president, I believe, with the league that works with the Players Associate. Mm-hmm. He came out and said there was never any discussion whatsoever about getting the players back on the field. They had to locate Roger Goodell. They had to locate Troy Vincent. It's not like these guys traveled every game.
Right.
And by the time they did, the players were consulted in the locker. We're not playing. Period. Yes. There was never discussion of resuming last night. And as Shea just said, if we don't know by now here at 8:21 that they're not playing tonight, no chance.
No, I don't think so either. There was some kind of question around that game of whether or not the players are going to go back out in the field for like a 5 or 10 minute warm-up. I don't know if you heard that. That was part of the press conference after the game. And that is protocol. Say, for instance, there's a lightning storm or there's something going on in the stadium. And so there's this warm-up that usually is protocol that's in place. There was rumor about that. Troy Vincent said, no, that was never talked about.
Never.
A 5 or 10 minute warm-up to get back out there.
Correct. Yeah. Never. He said that is insensitive to report that. He goes, we were in lockstep with Commissioner Goodell and the league, and it was never, ever discussed.
Well, it is interesting because we saw everybody kind of went to the sidelines. Stephon Diggs was rallying the team, trying to fire everybody back up. And then everybody turned around and emotion took over again. It was a moment where you went back to the humanity in you, and your brother is, you don't know how he's doing. You don't know if he's going to make it. So I think it was interesting to see at some point it looked like there was a plan, whether it came from the officials or whoever, to restart the game. And people were going to try to do that, but the emotion and the humanity ultimately took over.
All right, Shea, what else do we have?
I want to ask, let's get into the actual football of things. I want to ask about the Packers, who are on an absolute tear. This was my last shot or no shot question. Since week 13, the Green Bay Packers have the fourth most prolific offense and the third highest point differential in the NFL over the course of a four-game win streak that has saved their season. The 41-17 dismantling of the Vikings on Sunday was the defining win of the season thus far. So my question, shot or no shot, against all odds, the Packers are true contenders in the NFC.
That's a shot.
Sure, shot.
With Christian Watson back, there had been some talk that he might be sidelined with his injury, and he was able to get back out there. That's a legit weapon that they picked in the second round. That David Bakhtiari being able to come back is a huge addition to their offensive line. They locked up Elgton Jenkins on a long-term extension. That team's playing good football. Holy bleep. Could we possibly, Jake asked me earlier before the show, could we possibly see Brady against Rodgers to go to the Super Bowl?
Well, that's a no shot, but it'd be a great story. That's a no shot. Let me just make sure it's clear for people that's watching this Green Bay team. The reason why Green Bay is rallying right now is because their defense has gotten better. They run the football well, and Rodgers is able to throw a few passes here and there to make the offense better. Now, again, he's not the Rodgers that we're used to seeing. It's not vintage Rodgers out there. It's not. But what they are doing is they're running the football well. You mentioned the offensive line getting healthy. And so it's not like Rodgers is lighting the world on fire. They're doing just enough to win. But it starts with defense first for the Packers. That's the reason why they're in this spot right now. And so it's funny. We go back a couple of weeks, and Rodgers is there on Sunday Night Football saying, oh, we just got to win this game and then look at this schedule and then beat this team and win this game and then you never know. Like that kind of thing, right? So he always has that. He's not cocky. He's convinced that he can be able to get this done. And so I like that in him. There's no question. But if as long as he gets out of the way and doesn't turn the ball over, I think the Packers have a great opportunity here to do something special.
his last answer to the press conference the other day when they asked him, did he see this coming? And he talked about, you know, if we hadn't won, yeah, there would have been discussions about letting Jordan Love take over and him stepping to the side and finish off the year and then figure the, he said, what we have accomplished is so, what was the word he used? It wasn't heartwarming, but something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And to see how Christian Watson has emerged and how the offense has come along, it's been amazing.
He's doing enough to get it done.
Yeah.
That's just what, but I think the defense is the thing that is more impressive to me as of late for this team. But
they got like 8 number one draft picks on that defense. They are a good defense.
Yeah, you just beat the back, you know, beat the Bears and then, I don't know, beat the Rams and then probably, you know, probably win against the Dolphins and take on the Vikings and see what happens.
That's it.
That's, I mean, just as a matter of fact, you're like, yeah, we'll find a way
and
to turn this around.
And now they get the Lion.
Big game, big spot. That's a Sunday night game, by the way.
Can I just, with the Sunday night there, and this has been a topic of discussion everywhere, people say that the NFL gave the Packers an unfair advantage because if Seattle wins earlier in the day, the Lions have nothing to play for. Does that really matter, do you think?
Do the Lions have anything to play for? Does that factor of the Lions have nothing to play for?
Yeah, did the Packers actually get an advantage because they make it a Lions team that's playing for pride?
I don't think it really does. Look, will the Lions lose a little spring in their step if the Seahawks... Who do the Seahawks have? The Rams?
Yeah.
L.A.?
Correct.
That would be amazing if the Seahawks lost. That would be... Holy bleep, would Sunday night football be lit?
Be likely.
Oh, my God.
It would become a
God.
Playoff game, yeah.
It would become a playoff game.
That's fair to say. All right, Shay, what else we have?
Well, I was going to ask about the Seahawks anyway, because when I saw this game, it's scheduled the way that it is. Doesn't it feel written in the stars, Seattle loses?
It does.
Never.
It absolutely does.
Don't count out brother Geno. He's had quite the year. Now, again, they had a little bit of a slide here. They beat the Jets, but who doesn't lately?
Right.
But hold on a second now. This is big for brother Geno. Big spot
is
here
he
against
the
Rams.
Comeback player of the year? Or is it Jared Goff?
Man, he would get my vote.
Geno?
Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Who was Geno Smith until Russell Wilson left and went to Denver? Who was he?
A bust.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the question about Jared
story.
Goff.
Yeah.
Man.
What did Jared Goff come back from?
Man. Just being bad?
Yeah, he sucked.
Yeah, being
that's
bad. Yes.
That's like when people wanted Carson Wentz to be comeback player of the year. What did he come back from? Being horrible? That's not comeback player of the year.
Well, comeback meaning you were dead and gone.
And Geno Smith was dead and buried.
Yeah, exactly.
He came back.
Right. He'd get my vote, though. Geno Smith. Just a name, man. Just a guy. And now he's the leader of the team. How about that?
Who? Let me ask you a question. Who's the coach of the year?
I'll go by what I said in August. I said Nick Sirianni. That was my choice at the time.
I did as well.
And you're picking him still?
Everybody keeps talking about who it should be, but I think you have the best roster or the best record in the NFL. And maybe they hold on to that if they win this finale. So I would still go Sirianni.
Yeah, if I had a vote, I would vote Kyle Shanahan. 3 quarterbacks, including the Mr. Irrelevant, and you're still rolling along?
Oh, good. He's proving it to you now.
I've always said he's a great play caller.
No.
He's got to prove to me he can win consistently. What he's doing this year,
yeah.
Hats off,
man. You were not a fan all the way up to this year. You were not a Shanahan guy at all.
I said,
Zippo.
He's got to prove it to me. What he's done this year.
That's great regular season. It's great in the regular season. Show me what you can do with Brock Purdy in the playoffs when it counts.
Yeah, but the voting ends at the end of the regular season.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm giving Shanahan the coach of the year. I am.
I can't go back on what our predictions was before. And I said Sirianni.
Did you pick him before the season?
Yeah. Shay and I both did. We did our predictions in August.
Yeah, I have to see who I picked then. I know it wasn't Eberflus.
No, it was not.
The sheets are at home. I have to. They're in my office. I was looking at them yesterday. Very impressed by Hoodie and I. Less impressed by Cap.
Albert Breer of the NFL next on Cap and Jay Hood.
This guy.
Huh?
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
But Bert is it.
Safety Damar Hamlin had his heartbeat restored after suffering cardiac arrest on Monday night against the Bengals, and he's officially in critical condition at a Cincinnati hospital on Monday Night Football that took place yesterday. Albert Breer joins us to talk football from SI.com. The Monday Morning Quarterback joins us here on ESPN 1000. Albert, thanks so much for joining us. I just want to get your initial reaction to what you saw, one of the most horrific things we've seen on live TV with Hamlin. What was your initial reaction to what you saw?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's terrifying. You know, I think we see so many injuries on football fields that we do become like desensitized to them, and you know, so you see him go down at first, and you think, you know, okay, like did he hit his head? You know, did his knee buckle? And then, once the ambulance comes out, like you sort of, all right, like this is something more serious. Then. You know, they bring up the stretcher and, all right, that's even more serious. And then you see the looks on the guys' faces. And it's just, I mean, I don't know what it was like for you guys. It's just like you kind of like watched it get worse and worse and worse. And, you know, I think obviously everybody's praying for him. And, you know, hopefully we get some better news today. But, yeah, it was a rough night for everybody there, obviously.
So as you look at this whole situation, it looks from our seat and from people that I've talked to that were actually working that game that the medical plan that is rehearsed every summer,
yep.
This guy, God forbid, goes down with whatever the injury, it worked to perfection. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So, like, basically the way it works is every stadium has, like, an emergency response plan, and that's where you're referencing Cap, which is rehearsed, and you know there's an ambulance on site at all these stadiums. Obviously there's only so much they can do at the stadium, so you know certain things you have to take players out of there, and that was enacted. And I think less than 10 minutes before he was receiving CPR, and they brought an AED out, you know, which obviously are huge signs of trouble, you know. Like I think that was when, I think for most of us, it's the nature of this, you know, sort of came clear. Like when we sort of all realized how serious this was, you know. But also, I think the fact that they responded that quickly, you know, very well might have saved the guy's life. So you're right to say that. I do think this is why they rehearse these things, and it's why they've got a plan in place in all 32 stadiums, or all 31 stadiums, I guess 30 stadiums, right, because of New York and L.A. In all 30 stadiums, they have these plans in place, and this is why they rehearse them. And, you know, I think, you know, it probably prevented the situation from being even worse than it was.
Albert, I just think it was just over the top on social media, as always, you know, saying, hey, this game needs to be canceled, this game's going to be canceled. Well, of course, it was going to be canceled. I guess the question is, what was the protocol there, and how much is that from the commissioner, how much is that from the players and coaches making that initial decision?
You know, I don't want to bury the league here for the way they handle it, because I think there were a lot of people that were doing their very best, but I do know, like, having talked to some people on the field, there was a lot of confusion. You know, I talked to a couple of coaches last night who said that they were sort of told 5 minutes, they'd wait 5 minutes, and they were told 5 minutes again, you know. And so I'm assuming that's where Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were getting that word from, that, you know, because that's generally what they do. If there's an extended stoppage in the game, they'll give the players 5 minutes to get warm again. And, you know, so they were sort of given that word over and over and over again. And that's where you saw, I think there was a shot of Joe Burrow warming up, right? And then my understanding is, you know, Zach Taylor, the Bengals coach, looked across the field and saw Sean McDermott, the Bills coach. And this is after they'd been out there for a little bit. And like looked at his face, and I haven't talked to Zach personally about it, but it sounded like Zach's reaction was, "We cannot play tonight." And so that was when he went over to Sean, and they had the discussion, and I think it's good on the coaches for understanding what was going on there, seeing the reaction of their players, and making what I think everybody knew was the logical decision, which was not to have anybody else play football there that night.
So, Shay, give us that report again. We just heard you gave us a couple of minutes ago regarding when the game will be played. What was that?
This is from Melissa Holmes on Twitter. Insider Vic Carucci just reported on WGRZ Daybreak that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell will make the call on rescheduling Bills-Bengals, and it would have to be played within 2 days.
You buy that?
Yeah, and guys, I can't imagine they would play tonight because, I mean, the Bills went back to Buffalo last night, you're talking about them getting back. Like, I was texting somebody who was on the bus, one of the Buffalo buses. I think it was like 12:30, 12:45. So, if they're on the buses at that point, you figure they probably didn't get back to Buffalo until like 3 a.m., right? I mean, it's a short flight, but you're still going to Northern Kentucky from Cincinnati to get to that airport. And if they're getting home at 3 a.m., you can't ask them to turn around and play football today, And I think even tomorrow would be a stretch after everything they've been through. So, I mean, maybe there's a precedent for the situation. I can't think of one. I know that in the past, in the case of storms and stuff, they've moved games scheduled for Sunday night or Monday night to Tuesday. I think there was one because of COVID that was held on a Wednesday, right? But I think it'd be a lot to ask these players to go out there and play either today or tomorrow. And by the way, this is the way I look at it too, guys. It's a player safety issue, isn't it? I just think, if you had tried to play that game last night, if you had sent those players out there last night, I mean, where's everybody's head at? You know what I mean? I just think you would have created more dangerous situations out there. And so can you get the game in a position over the next, 36 hours where it's safe to play? I don't know. And then I think once you get past Wednesday, I mean, then what are we talking about? You know what I mean? Like, playing Thursday and then playing, moving it, their games like next week tomorrow. I just don't know how you'd be able to logistically do it.
Away from what happened last night, because we do only get one chance to talk to you each week.
Yep.
Would you sit Justin Fields this week? Because if they play him, I think it's one of the dumbest coaching decisions I've ever seen.
I think it 100% depends on his health. You know what I mean? Cap, and I think there are two things at work here. Number one, he needs reps. Okay, that's what the Ohio State coaches said about him when he was coming out. I think we've seen that. He does need reps, and so every rep you can get him is valuable. Every game he plays is valuable, and building towards whatever he's going to be in 2023. So that's one piece of it. The second piece of it, it's not worth getting him those reps if it's going to risk further injury, and he's going to spend 2 or 3 months of the offseason rehabbing. And I think the goal is to have him in the best place come middle of April when they report for their off-season program, healthy and ready to go and ready to have an absolutely full off-season with no hiccups.
Okay.
And so, look, if there's no risk of further injury, yeah, I don't have a problem with putting him out there. But if there's a risk with further injury with a shoulder or anything else, then, yeah, I'd say you play it safe. And obviously, in that sort of case, there might be a draft pick benefit too. I know the team's not going to talk about that,
right?
But I believe they'd be picking second right now, right?
That they're locked in at two.
Yeah,
if they lose their last game, potential number one. If Houston wins, then the Bears lose, they would pick one. Albert, down 38-10. He's been sacked 7 times. He's in the blue tent getting checked for a concussion. He has said multiple times, yeah, my shoulder's still, it's annoying. It's there, but I can play through it. If they put this kid back out on the field, in my opinion, that is the single stupidest decision I've ever seen by a Bears coach.
I think you can find ways to protect him and play him a certain way. Now, if I am playing him, Cap, I'm not running him 15 times. I'm just not. You know what I mean? I'm with you. There's a benefit to playing him, there's also a line there. And it's not like any of us need to figure out what Justin Fields can do as a runner. You know what I mean? Like, no one needs to know. Like, we know what sort of athlete he is. So, you know, I do think that there would be some level of benefit to getting him the reps. But I'm with you 100%, like, on the injury thing. Like, if there is a risk of further injury and messing this kid's off season up, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, where he's going to be doing physical therapy in March instead of, you know, training to play a football season, then yeah, I think you play it safe.
Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com with us here on Cap and Jay Hood. What can we expect from Minnesota? Which Minnesota is going to stand up here? The one against Green Bay? Or is this a playoff-tested team? Also, based on what we saw in the Final Four in the college football playoff, is one of those coaches going to the NFL? One of those four? We talk about it next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's Home for Sports.
Cap and Jay Hood. Morning, 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We'll hear from Alex Brown coming up in 12 minutes right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. We're talking to Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com. By the way, Albert Breer comes a little bit wounded after Georgia was able to put the smack down. No, actually, just getting by Ohio State in the game.
Yeah, it looked like me kicking the field goal for Ohio State.
Poor Albert. We appreciate the bye, by the way, as a Georgia fan. We appreciate that bye week. Thanks very much for that win.
Oh, I mean, I honestly, you know what's going to be the worst thing? Mm. Is like when Georgia beats TCU by 5 touchdowns. And I have to reckon with the fact that that was the real national championship game. That one was the real national championship game. Because that was what was beautiful about Saturday, wasn't it? Like, one game was a complete bleep show, right?
Yeah.
And DCU, Michigan was a complete beautiful bleep show, right? Yeah. And then I felt like Georgia, Ohio State was just a heavyweight fight, you know? And, I will say this. Like, after having to hear for 5 weeks how our team didn't belong and how our teams, I mean, I think they looked even. You know what I mean? Like, those two teams looked like they were dead even. And, yeah, so it sucks. But, you know, I thought CJ played great. I thought Ryan coached great. Like, I thought all in all, a great sporting event that could have gone either way.
We always talk about the parallels of Jim Harbaugh and Bo Schembechler. Bo would never leave Michigan. Will Jim try to leave Michigan again?
You know, I get myself in trouble here. I'm not trying to drive. I want to make this clear. I'm not trying to drive Jim Harbaugh away from Michigan. I'm just telling you what I've heard. Mm-hmm. You know, I honestly, like, I going back to, like, when, you know, he first got there, and that was, you know, 8 years ago now. There's always that thing, like, he's got unfinished business in the NFL, and eventually, you know, that itch, he's going to go back. And I think, you know, there was, like, at least something internally with him over the first 3 years that he was at Michigan where people kept knocking on his door, and it was tempting for him. And then people stopped knocking, you know? And so, like, in 19 and 20, and, there was just that, I are they ever going to come calling again? And then last year, I think those phone calls were more outgoing than incoming. Like, there was more of an effort on his part, on his camp's part, to get him to the NFL than there was for the NFL to come and get him. And so that's what's unique about where we are now, is like the NFL's finally coming after him again. And how does he react to that? And, you know, he's got a really good Michigan team coming back next year. And so, you know, I don't know what's inside his head, what he's going to do. But I do know, like, for the first time in a few years, he's become a hot commodity in NFL circles. And, you know, you look at a couple of places like Denver, for example, where it would make a lot of sense for those teams to look at him. His resume, obviously, at the NFL level is really, really strong. I think 44-19-1. And, you know, for these places that sort of need to be shaped up, and need, like a Bill Parcells type of presence. Like I've always thought that's what he is as an NFL coach. Like, he's got a lot of Bill Parcells in him. And so I think, you know, your Denver's of the world, Minneapolis of the world will certainly be coming after him. And I think there's a decent chance he goes.
What is the cost, truly the cost, of Sean Payton? Let's assume that a team says, all right, we're in. Sean, $10 million, whatever it is, $15 million, whatever the cost is.
Keep going up.
Okay, $20 million a year. I'm going to give you 5 years, $100 million. And what is New Orleans truly going to require to get him?
Yeah, so like, let's start with the financials. I reported this back in June. All told, his last contract with the Saints was $80 million over 5 years. So that's $16 million per year. The offer I was told he got from the Dolphins was actually 100 over four. So it's $25 million a year.
Okay.
So that sort of gives you an idea of the ballpark that we're playing in if you're trying to get Sean Payton. And that's why, like, I think for teams like the Chargers and Cardinals that haven't traditionally spent, it's a little harder to wrap your head around the idea of them going and doing this. Now, the new television money, I think that changes the dynamic for a lot of people. But, you know, I think that that's sort of, those are the numbers that we're talking about here, probably north of $20 million per year. You know, and then I do think the Saints are going to want a first-round pick back. Now, are they going to be willing to work with somebody? Yeah. And I think, you know, Mickey Loomis does have, doesn't want to be the one that's going to, like, stand in the way of his friend Sean Payton going back into coaching. But, you know, he's got a job to do and taking care of the Saints organization. So, it wouldn't surprise me if at the end of all of this, whether – and I'm not convinced he's going back this year because I don't know if there's one attractive enough for him. But whether it's this year or next year, I think we're talking about something north of $20 million per year and a first-round pick going to the Saints.
Albert, as always, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Happy New Year.
It is our guy, Albert Breer, with us every Tuesday at 8:35 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
The Sean...
How about the Payton thing, huh?
Yeah. So, I'm not suggesting that the Bears go do this, because that's just not how they operate. But Sean Payton, if you are an owner of a franchise... and you feel like, okay, I gotta inject some life into this thing. Can you imagine? Hey, we just gave up whatever, and we just signed him to a 5-year, $125 million deal, and we've got Sean Payton running the deal here.
You say that's not how the Bears do business. Maybe that's how Brother Warren does business.
Yeah.
Kevin Warren.
No shot.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yes.
The mood would change then.
Quickly.
Everything I hear about Kevin Warren is thumbs up. Because if you're Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten, if you missed that during the Christmas holiday, Kevin Warren interviewing for Ted Phillips' job.
Correct.
Everything I hear is absolutely positive about Warren. Because what else does he have to do in the Big Ten? He got the TV deal swung. He's got Pac-12 teams coming to the Big Ten. He's got nothing else to prove in the Big Ten.
Okay, the problem that I heard with this, I've also heard Jim Phillips' name, commissioner of the ACC, Colin Faulkner, the senior VP of the Chicago Cubs, whose wife is the president of the Blackhawks. I've heard those names as well. The problem is Kevin Warren is making north of $6 million a year to run the Big Ten. Jim Phillips is making almost that to run the ACC. You're telling me the Chicago Bears are going to give, you don't come there on like a 1-year deal. Like, you're telling me that they are going to pay an executive $7-8 million a year? I'll believe it when I see it.
Quality costs, pal.
I don't disagree with you.
If you get Kevin Warren, you know what that is? Shopping at the top shelf.
Correct. Any of those three candidates is shopping at the top shelf. Kevin Warren to leave the Big Ten with the chops he's got in
the NFL. College. Yeah.
Dude, you're talking about $7 million a year.
Yep. Not my money. I just want what's best for the Bears.
Correct. And if he's the right guy, if Jim Phillips is the right guy, if Colin Faulkner's the right, whoever it is, I don't care what it costs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
when I saw that news about Warren, I go, oh, God.
Right.
And actually sitting down talking to him, Cap, just telling you, that's when you're for real. That's when you really want the whole organization to change. And we'll see. But I just think that name was interesting.
Yeah.
And we'll go get a chance to talk to our guy, Alex Brown. That's in 2 minutes right here on Cap and J-Hood.